Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you on this Sunday, the 26th of May. My name is Nigel Parker, and I have the privilege of being the minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke. We are pleased to bring you this broadcast of the Word of Grace here on CJMQ Radio, broadcasting to the eastern townships of Quebec and beyond. Whether you are listening live this Sunday morning or following up on a recording, we're delighted to have you tuned in. Psalm 29 says, "Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness."
Oh,
Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you that you are a creator God. We thank you that you've made all things and have made them well, that you have given to us all things richly to enjoy. And so for the beauty and bounty of this fair earth, we give you thanks, Father, who has made all things and all people. Forgive us if in pride and selfishness and in anger we have misused your gifts and have used for death that which was meant for life. Lord Jesus Christ the Son, we thank you for your redeeming power. You love us, and we see your love shown most clearly on the cross, where you gave of your life to conquer death and to make well the brokenness of the universe. We thank you, Son of God, who loves us with an ever-ending love. Forgive us if we have treated your love lightly, as a little thing, and if we have shown little love in return. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you that you are with us at all times and in all places, for the guidance which you give to us, for the truth that you lead us to, for the knowledge that you impart to us, for your continuing, upholding, strengthening, and protecting power. We thank you that you are with us, Spirit of God. Forgive us if we've tried to live alone and have been reluctant to walk with you or to draw strength from you. We trust in these promises, that the triune God, in each of his persons, promises us newness of life, a gift of new birth. For the divine Trinity invites us to testify to his being as the foundation of reconciliation for all of God's people and for creation. In these truths we trust and give thanks. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from John's Gospel, chapter 16, at verse 12. Once again, we're looking at a passage when Jesus speaks to his disciples on the last night of freedom that he has. He tells them about life that will come after his resurrection and at his ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, at verse 12. Jesus said, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Jesus went on to say, "In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me." At this, some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me,' and 'because I am going to the Father'?" And they kept asking, "What does he mean by 'a little while'? We don't understand what he is saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you. Now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Amen.
My Jesus knows when I am lonely. He knows each pain. He sees each tear. He understands each lonely heartache. He understands because he cares. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh yes, he knows just what I need. Jesus knows just what I need. Oh yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies.
Yes, he knows just what I need.
A minister, known for his lengthy sermons, noticed a man get up and leave during the middle of his message. And the man returned just before the conclusion of the sermon. And afterwards the pastor asked the man where he had gone. He said, "I went to get a haircut," was the reply. "But," said the minister, "why didn't you do that before the service?" "Because," the gentleman said, "I didn't need one then." The problem with any public speaker is that there is never enough time. If only I had a bit more time, I could explain myself that much better. If only this broadcast were 3 hours long, I would do so much better. Don't worry, I'm not going down that road. My problem this morning is simple. To explain a doctrine that all Christians believe, but no one really understands, and to do it in less than 10 minutes. Today is marked as Trinity Sunday in the church. As Christians, we catch up all our belief about God in the conviction that God is a Father, Son and Holy Spirit, or more inclusively, he is our Creator who made us, our Saviour who redeemed us, and our Sustainer who dwells within the hearts of all who believe. All at once, and all in one, yet all in three, all at the same time. When we say these things, we mean that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. But they are not three gods, but only one God. The Father is not the Son is not the Spirit is not the Father, but each is God individually, and yet they are together, the one true God of the Bible. Well, there's nothing like an easy topic to do a radio broadcast on, and this is nothing like an easy topic. Yet Christians in every land unite in proclaiming that our God exists eternally, as the Creator, as the Saviour, as the Sustainer, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And those who deny that truth place themselves outside of Christian orthodoxy. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and others don't go down this road. A bishop was at a parish for a confirmation, and decides that in his homily he will quiz the teenagers that he's supposed to be confirming. So he asks them, "Who can tell me what the Trinity is?" And they all look at their shoes in the way that teenagers do. So he calls on one young man who mumbles a reply in the way that teenagers do. And the bishop says, "I'm sorry, I didn't understand that." And the boy sighs in the way that teenagers do and replies, only slightly louder, "Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." The bishop, wanting the boy to speak up so everyone can hear him, says, "I'm sorry, I still didn't understand." And the lad, rolling his eyes in the way that teenagers do, says loudly and clearly, "You're not supposed to understand it. It's a mystery." Maybe not the best joke, but it makes a point about how many Christians approach the Trinity. It's a doctrine that we're taught to repeat, but struggle to understand. And that's because the doctrine of the Trinity says something about God, and God is the ultimate mystery of existence, which our finite minds cannot comprehend. And yet at the same time, our scriptures for this Feast of the Trinity do give us some insight into why the church came to profess belief in a God who, while one, is also three distinct persons who are equally God. In the 14th century, there was a pious mystic called Meister Eckhart, and he wrote, "Do you want to know what's going on in the heart of the Trinity? I will tell you. In the heart of the Trinity, the Father laughs and gives birth to the Son. The Son laughs back at the Father and gives birth to the Spirit. The whole Trinity laughs and gives birth to us." Now, there's a bits of fuzzy theology around the edges there, but he presents to us a picture of the Trinity, of God who has an eternal act of shared joy, shared love, shared hilarity, overflowed into the world in our creation and our redemption. This is who our God is. Truly a mystery, but not a mysterious force operating at a distance, not some inscrutable, stern, heavenly lawmaker, but something like the mystery of happiness that arises from mutual love, the mystery of an infectious act of eternal laughter that draws us in and makes us laugh along until cleansing tears of joy run down our faces. The doctrine of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit may be clumsy, but it's the way that God is. And this we know from Jesus' words. His words that I read from John 16 are not easy reading and listening. But Jesus came from the being of God to tell us what the being of God is, so that we might be ready to receive the Spirit from the being of God and be joined to God. The Trinity is the way that God has given himself to be known. And I'm glad that he's like that, because it means that God is love, that he lives in love, and he gives himself in love. If we could design a God who could tell us what love is like, who could tell us what God is like, we couldn't invent a better God than this God. A God who loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us rejoice that we have a God who is Trinity, who has provided for us a Trinitarian rescue, that when we were lost in our sin and rebellion against God, our God acted in every person of his being to save us. The Father gave the Son offered himself on the cross, and the Holy Spirit brought us to Jesus and through him to the Father. We were so lost that it took every member of the Godhead to save us. In 1774, a man named Ignaz Franz wrote a hymn of praise to God the Trinity. Verse 3 may serve as an apt conclusion. "Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, three we name you, while in essence only one, undivided God we claim you. Then adoring, bend the knee and confess the mystery. Indeed, it is a mystery. And with all the saints, we bend the knee and worship before our great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen." Thank you.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sins upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Let us pray. We give You all thanks and praise, O God, for You loved the world so greatly that You gave Your Son, so that all who trust Him may have eternal life. Your powerful voice, thundering over the waters, spoke into being the newborn creation. From Your holy throne, surrounded by seraphim, You called Your prophets to carry the message of life to those who were enslaved to selfish desires. You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, and when the enemies of life lifted Him up to die, You raised Him from the grave and made Him the source of life for all who look to Him in trust and hope. And now Your Holy Spirit bears witness within us that we are indeed Your children, born from above of water and spirit, and destined to share with Christ in His sufferings and His glory. Heavenly Father, we come before You now with our prayers for our world, for Your world. As we express our gratitude for the good gifts that You have given us, remind each of us of the role we have in caring for Your creation, and change the hearts of those who seek to destroy the beauty of the earth for their own gain. Encourage those who seek climate justice and those who work to restore our land, our rivers and seas. Creator God, help us work together to heal Your earth. God of the sick, we think of all those who are struggling with poor physical or mental health. Draw alongside them that they may know Your healing love. As we remember Jesus, the suffering servant, by whose stripes we may be healed, We pray for all those who work in healthcare. Grant them strength and wisdom for every challenge they face, and be with those who walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Walk with them, comfort them, bring them your peace. Loving God, whose spirit is a spirit of peace, we look around our world and see war and destruction. Bring peace to every situation that knows the torment and uncertainty that war brings. Protect those who are fleeing from violence and conflict. Grant them safe passage and help them to find welcome and acceptance wherever they find a home. And we pray for your church, locally, nationally, around the world. Help us be a light in the darkness and a beacon of hope in situations that seem hopeless. Help us to sow the seeds of faith in others as we give thanks for those who've nurtured us. And hear us now as further we pray together in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lenoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.